One. Dave, we're here live here on the Neil Haley Show and Caregiver Dave Celebrity Segment. Caregiver Dave and Sandy. Dave, how are you? I guess
I'm
we're
doing
ready
great.
To start talking about Halloween, right? We're very right around the corner for October, an important,
yeah.
exciting
What's
month.
Halloween without a horror flick?
Yes, we got to talk horror, right? So let's talk about who our guests are and their film, and we're going to have a lot of fun as they're former pro wrestlers as myself and ran into the same kind of people back 25 plus years ago. Go ahead, Dave.
Well, for those of you who like horror flicks and for those of you who remember the Manson brothers, no relation to Charlie, you're going to be delighted when Midnight Zombie Massacre comes to the screen, released on demand September 10th, which is today, in theaters everywhere. Welcome to the show, boys.
Thank you
so much for having us, guys.
All right, so let's go through this, because this is the thing, guys. Dave was here. Dave saw I had a horror audition with, we interviewed last, it was 2 weeks ago last, it was last week, Dave, right?
Yeah,
we interviewed and I had to audition because I want to work. He said, oh, we're not going to hire workers, right? Well, I want to start acting now. So here's the funny story.
Yeah, Neil actually auditioned on the show last week.
On the show, producer.
I feel like he's going to do it again.
Yeah, a producer that was on that for Nightmare Elm Street 2. He did Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. But you probably, Dave, remember his last name. That's how much I remember names because of pro wrestling. But I auditioned. I had to do a choke out. And he's like, wow, that was great. I'm going to put that out on TikTok and everything. I did a cool edited job on that. Aww. But guys, I'm going to go right now, Mike. First question for Mike. Now, did you ever think you were going to be involved in movies, or was it always pro wrestling?
No, I always knew I was going to be involved in movies to some degree or another. It took me a lot longer than I thought it was going to take, but I made it. I got into pro wrestling right when I got out of the Marine Corps in 1990, and I was trained by Sam DiCero, who was a former wrestler himself. And at the time, Windy City Wrestling was a very, very big independent promotion. The territories were still around. You know, they were fading off, but they were still there. So we were a fairly big territory, and we would get a lot of big workers come around and work for, you know, with us and things like that. But I always wanted to use that as a segue into the film business, you know, but life happened and I wound up, you know, getting married and having kids. And then I had to get a regular job. So I got a job on the fire department. And when that came to an end due to an injury, I told my wife, you know, I really want to push this acting thing. And right out of the bat, I started getting booking parts on these shows shot in Chicago. I live in Chicago, and as a villain, which is great because I was a heel anyway. So it was a good fit for me, and I could walk and chew gum. And I think, Neil, you know, that you can relate as a wrestler because of the timing that we have doing the physical stuff. We can do things that maybe some actors can't do or isn't as easy for them to do as us, like go here, hit your mark, say this, right on the button almost every time. So that kind of stuff was easy. But I had sort of played it out, like I had gotten about as far as I was going to get in Chicago when I was older. You know, we're in our mid-40s at the time. So Chris and I sort of got together and I said, listen, I have this idea. Let's do it together. He bought into it right away. We wrote the thing, worked our butts off for like 5 years and got other people to believe in us, got really lucky, and we got it put on screen. So hopefully this will be the start of something good for us. But so far we're getting a lot of good feedback from the film. People seem to laugh their butts off and enjoy it. And that's all we were shooting for.
All right.
You guys are really brothers, right?
No.
Oh.
If I was really his brother, he would have killed me years ago.
Okay. So this film's about the Manson brothers doing their thing. Did they make you up to make you look younger, you know, like in your prime? Or is this like you guys are going in just the way you are?
No, they did. Well, at the beginning of the film shows us at the beginning of our career in the early 90s. So
actual footage?
No. They made us up and gave me a wig. Yeah. So they, yeah, but the majority of the film is us being two over the hill wrestlers who are trying to just eke out, who are at one time were at the top of the food chain and who are now just trying to eke out a living on the independent circuit, squeezing the last bit of name value that they have.
What age are we expected you to be in this movie?
I'm sorry?
What age are you?
50.
Yeah, we're 50.
Okay. Yeah, that's over there.
Yeah.
Neil, you'll appreciate it. It was obviously, having been in wrestling, you know that guys would come who were New York superstars or WWE superstars would come to the independents for a payday, and that would get them, you know, that would get the show over, that kind of thing. So that's basically what we are to this promotion, is guys who were, you know, former superstars who have now, you know, kind of been relegated through only the fault of their own.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you show up, and we see them days when we were working, when all the 80s guys kept doing shows. King Kong, Bundy, the Bushwhackers, Jake Snake, all these guys would just show up, even Wahoo McDaniel.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, all that stuff. They just show up, right?
And go home.
That's basically what we are in this film. That's what we are in this film, is those guys who have come back down now. And, you know, we're trying to make a living doing the indie circuit like back in the day.
So. I'm thinking of doing that still. Dave's like, oh, no. Please don't, Dave.
Hey, so Neil, if the check clears, do it. Why not?
Yeah, exactly. Right?
So the movie's got a plot now, right? I don't know who wrote it, but there's some kind of virus, and you're going to try to be heroes to contain the virus, zombie virus. Tell me about that.
So, interestingly, Mike and I wrote the film, and we started it back in 2014. So at no point in time, you know, we were looking for the wildest possible outcome to set up this film. And it was like, hey, well, let's have a buddy who winds up taking a imported PED, and it causes him to break out into like a more rabid state. Right. And we've got to lock down the arena so that they don't get out and cause a pandemic. And you know, who knew? Fast forward. And we shot it before the pandemic. Everything happened before the pandemic. And then all of a sudden, you know, here
right
it is.
When we were getting ready to distribute, the pandemic happened. And he and I were like, holy crap, people are going to think we planned it. But it was a total
planned it and caused it.
Yeah, well, that's not the first
time. They blame us for everything.
Yeah, I love this. Let's just go back to this, Dave. This is the thing that old workers, especially us three, I wrestled for 9 years, but I worked down south, worked for law. I mean, I've worked a lot of big guys because I'm legitimate 6'10 guys. So, next movie, you got to have me in. That's for sure.
We'll talk about it for sure.
All right. See, I don't need to have to audition David.
You had to say was 6'10.
Yeah, that's exactly. Right, yeah. See, and that's what's happened. The business isn't like that now. It's not about guys with big size and all that. Oh. So going and showing up in a locker room like at AEW, where there are people looking at the small guys as the big draws, and like, dude, no, it's larger than life. The Manson brothers, larger than life.
Well, we're not big of stature. We each go about 6 foot tall.
Yeah, but you look like wrestlers.
I'm about 245.
Some of these guys don't look like wrestlers. I wouldn't want to go in a back room with you guys back in the day. but look at some of these guys. They look Dave's size, and they're getting over.
Yeah, Dave, are you ashamed? Dave doesn't look small.
Hey, how big are you?
Is the movie a comedy? Is it a horror comedy flick? Is it a satire? All of the above.
So what it is, and one of the things I think we're both the most proud of, and this is a testament to our director Max Martini, who's an industry veteran forever. And thankfully, you know, took this project on because he was able to not only, you know, build the world, but add in so many great actors around two absolute unknowns that elevated the project. But one of the really cool things about it, I think, that separates it is it's definitely a comedy. There's, you know, there's moments we expect laughs, but when it's time for the zombie stuff to hit, it is, you know, 100% brutal zombie, and there's no joking around about it. So it definitely toes the line between the two.
So who are the great actors that are in this? Anyone, any names?
Oh, my gosh. D.B.
Sweeney. From The Cutting Edge.
Adrian Pazdar. We've got Hero. Boss Rutten. We've got Randy Couture. I mean, yeah, we really got some.
If you look up Randy Couture, Dave, he's huge in the MMA world. Okay. Yeah. So, and then if you looked at the people, the shows of the people they've been in, see, Dave has to look at all those things. But, yes, it's definitely heavy hitter.
You know
how did you guys get it? Yeah, how did you guys get them?
We all look like wrestlers. I mean, I got the head for it.
How did we get them? So how we got those actors was through Max, because he's worked just with about everybody in the business, and called up these guys and said, hey, I have this goofy script and there's these characters you guys could paint with really broad strokes. And, you know, much like when you have, you know, former star workers come into your promotion, they can sometimes phone it in. Well, that happens a lot on independent movies that I've
worked on. That's a good description of independent movies versus, you know, and Dave and I had one of the craziest interviews. What's his name from Striking Distance? Dave, remember how drunk he was? You know, remember
He's
really well-known natural
born. He didn't even finish the interview. He passed out.
Oh, Tom Sizemore. Yeah,
we had Tom Sizemore on our
show. We have a funny Tom Sizemore story.
And there you go. They have a funny Tom Sizemore story.
I think everybody has a funny Tom Sizemore story now. So, yeah.
Now, Tom, I actually met Tom 30 years ago when he was coming up in the business. He was a super nice guy, but this is before he had all his trouble. But at one point, we were, you know, messing around with the idea of having him in our film, and Max knew him, and then all this other stuff came out and it didn't happen. But he reached out. But these guys that came onto our set, D.B. Sweeney, Adrian Pazdar, Boz Root, and Randy Couture's pros, they did not phone it in. They came in and were like 100% committed. Yeah. They, when you watch this thing, they, you could tell they're just having a blast. And a lot of that was due to Max's latitude he gave with the actors, but also their enthusiasm and their kindness and generosity to us, because they didn't know us from Adam. I mean, I knew DB from another movie that we had done together, but, you know, they could have come in and phoned it in and whatever, but they totally committed, and it really elevated the whole project, and we couldn't be more grateful about it. We just got the right people.
To really draw the independent wrestling analogy, it would be like, we used to bring in, I won't name him, but he was an extremely famous guy. He main evented WrestleMania 2 at one point in time, but I won't say any names. But, you know, he'd come in, and he was a great worker, obviously, but he didn't want a bump, ever, period. You know, no bumps, period. And to draw the analogy to these guys, they were taking bumps like crazy for us in the film.
Yeah, figurative bumps.
How realistic were the stunts? Did anybody get hurt?
We had some bumps and bruises, and I had a surgery or two over it, but they were pretty good. And when you deal with guys like this, you know, like, so the guy that plays the heavy, his name is David Meadows. He's a great actor, but he's also a former Navy SEAL, and he's a big dude. He's 6'3", about 235, and he and I have, and he's a lot younger than me, and he and I had a fight scene, and we were like, it was just like wrestling, Neil. It's like, okay, we're going to keep it really snug, like double snug.
Okay.
We're not going to hurt each other, but we're going to keep it double snug. And we protected each other. We trusted each other, which was great, but we beat the shit out of each other.
This is like the Thanksgiving turkey bowl. Everybody's out on the football
field. Yeah, right, exactly.
They all come off in crutches.
It's like you're playing for the NFL, and it's like, I don't know.
Venting their frustration.
So Dave, I have to laugh at them about. So how would you create zombies in wrestling? Is that two things you love the most? And I want both Mike and Chris to answer that.
Well, so for me, it was partially that, but it was also about finding the most broad audience we could possibly get for a film with two guys that nobody knew again who they were. And so it was like, well, we used to be wrestlers and everybody loves zombies, right? So let's try to marry that together somehow. And that, you know, the Venn diagram there is just as bloated as can possibly be. So that was really kind of the beginning of it. You know, I thought it was a great marketing opportunity for the film.
I'll echo that a little bit. I have always been a fan of this zombie genre, going back to Night of the Living Dead. I'm a purist. So I love that stuff. And I just felt like, Chris, it was the broadest thing we could do with this material. And I thought also we could put a different spin on it. You know, most of the movies I see nowadays, the zombies are all the same. You know, not that ours, I don't think ours are that unique, but I think we put a different spin on the storyline and a different spin. The movie's mostly about the two brothers. You know, and that these zombies are sort of an irritation to them moving through their world that they have to take care of. But it's like, oh, crap, we have to do this. We have to deal with all this bullshit. You're asking us to put this douchebag over, and that, you know, we don't want to put him over. And we have zombies to deal with. You know, that's that kind of thing. So we thought it was a good fit, and we thought it would be fun to play the comedy really funny, but have the zombies be scary. Like, we didn't want to. the zombies to be like, you won't see any zombies like getting poked in the eyes and stuff like that. We didn't want to play it up like that. We wanted the zombies to be threatening. So the scary parts are scary. The funny parts are funny. And the comedy in this is not jokes. It's sort of locker room type humor. I say something and Neil, you know, comes back with some whippy comeback, you know, it's like that, where we just sort of throw the comedy away. And a lot of times people say, oh man, I caught that like 2 seconds after it happened. And then I laughed my ass off, like, beautiful. Cause that's how it was intended. So,
yeah. So do you have really good distribution? I mean, am I going to see it in theaters here in LA where I am?
It is.
Yeah, well, as a matter of fact, I'm in LA too. And it's playing tonight at the Cine Lounge in Hollywood for a week. We'll all be there this evening. But yeah, we've got 14.
So it's going to be on AMC and Regal.
I don't know. I don't know about that. It's a limited. Well, it's a small movie, so we have a limited.
It's a limited theatrical, but a couple of the cities we are in AMC. Most of them, it's independent theaters. Yes, and then other than that, it's literally VOD everywhere, iTunes, Amazon, DirecTV, anywhere you can purchase or.
I already bought them on all the platforms.
Are the numbers good? Are you doing good? Are you doing good?
Well, we literally opened today, so we don't have any metrics as of yet. Yeah,
it opened today.
Yeah, we won't know the metrics tonight, for a few weeks, I'm sure.
Well, our distributor's gravitas.
We've been doing a lot of press.
Extremely excited to be with.
I'd go see it. I don't like zombies or wrestling, but I'd go see it.
But you like to laugh.
Yeah.
Dave, you got to hook up to them. That's what. See, Dave doesn't understand. I connect him to all these Hollywood people all the time, and he doesn't connect with them in Hollywood. Come on, Dave. Seriously, I live in Pittsburgh. You're in California, right, Chris?
I am, yes. Yes.
And Mike, you're in Chicago.
I'm in Chicago, yeah.
Chicago. Yeah. But so the point is Pittsburgh. Come on. Dave, like, I got him a red carpet deal. And who'd you have pictures with, Dave, from your red carpet deal I got you?
Everybody.
No, you got to name some of them. Barry Manilow. Barry Manilow, who he thought Barry was.
Manilow. I got the Shark Tank guy.
Those
are Salesforce
CEO billionaire.
Neil, can I just say real quick? I made my first trip to Pittsburgh 2 summers ago. I think it's the most underrated city in the country. I had more fun there than I have had almost anywhere I've ever been. It was a blast.
But he was drunk and he was really in Philadelphia.
I was sad. I'm going to tell you what, I was sad to see the Hambones in the Lawrenceville area closed. That was my favorite place I went to the whole time.
Okay. So yeah, Lawrenceville's not too far from me. Yeah. And so I'm thinking comeback movies, comeback everything. So guys, did you do this film? Now, this is not going to be it, right? You're not done yet.
So this was always intended to be the start of a franchise of films. So the second movie is called The Manson Brothers Satanic Vampire Death Match. So this one's Manson Brothers Midnight Zombie Massacre. Second one's Manson Brothers Satanic Vampire Death Match. We were supposed to have shot it already, and we're about 3 weeks away from going into pre-production.
So you had to raise money for this, right?
Right. We had funding for it, and then it fell through, and that's a long story in and of itself. So now we have to re-raise the funds from scratch, which hopefully...
So did you guys run your wrestling shows yourself when they were the Manson Brothers? Did you promote Windy City or not?
No, we did not promote.
Sam DeCero was the promoter for Windy City Wrestling. Windy City Wrestling no longer...
Did you ever run your any wrestling shows, you guys, ever? Did you ever run?
Chris was a booker for Windy City.
I was a booker for Windy City for a while, which I loved, by the way. That was one of my favorite jobs ever.
So I'm just interested in that, to know that how raising funds, because pro wrestling promotions and getting sponsors and everything is the same thing almost.
No, because people steal from each other too much in the promotion. You'll never get the money out of those days.
You don't miss those days.
No. I'm from Chicago. Brown bagged, you know.
When you're raising funds for a film, one of the things that is kind of, I mean, you try to do it. That's not to say that you can. You want to have as few people involved in it as possible, much like in the wrestling industry, because the more people that give you money, the more people that want to have their own personal interest involved in it, right?
So can you put my chiropractor's daughter in your film? You
know, right. Yeah, just stuff like that. And so, you know, the fewer entities you can keep it to, the better off, the less hassle you have. And we were very fortunate on this first one that we had none of that, you know, no involvement from finance.
No, yeah, no investors showed up to tell us we were dressed the wrong way. They didn't like a joke or whatever. So we got real lucky with that.
All right. So let's just jump. We're going to finish up with this. I mean, this is a great conversation. I don't know if you're, publicist told you I was a former pro wrestler. Is this
no? We did not. That's so crazy. It was a great surprise when you told me that. I was thank you, God.
Do your audition now, Neil.
Oh, I don't need audition. They know I'm good to go. Go ahead and so Dave, I don't need that. That's only for these guys. But can I be in your film? You know, as a former wrestler, can I be one of the people in this next one with the vampire?
So
there's actually for you to do.
Yeah. Here's the thing. There's actually no wrestling in the second one at all. No. So when we decided on that, we're like, well, we're open to former workers now or current workers because there isn't any wrestling. They have to pay non-wrestling parts. So
yeah, there's no wrestling. So the second movie is just these guys were wrestlers. Now they're out. They can't even work anymore. They can't even wrestle. So that's a story in and of itself. But we still pay homage to the business. You know, I like the business the way it was. I'm not
familiar. Yeah, I don't like the business now.
I don't know it. You know, it's not my business anymore.
No, it's that they don't look like guys that could go and fight and end up in a bar scene. And
I'm a Dick the Bruiser guy. I like Dick. You know, I'm a Dick the Bruiser wrestling. That's me. Even stuff from the 80s, you know, or when we were in it. That was different then. Well, before they gave the business away. You know, before they exposed the business.
So I was in the Attitude Era, but then that's when ECW, I mean, I started in 93, 94. But yeah, I agree with you. And then finished up in 99 in Bremen, Germany for Otto. Yeah.
Otto?
Yeah, I worked for Otto.
I was in the business the same time as you, Neil. I was a little bit later and stayed a little bit longer, but I was in the Attitude Era as well. And you know, I was an NWA guy. I was a mid-80s.
I thought at least Attitude, ECW killed it where guys that don't look like wrestlers could be wrestlers. And that's what the business is today. Yeah. It is at a point. But I guarantee if you go to an indie show, guys, we can work a match, us three, and get bigger pop and more crowd involvement than any of them ever.
I guarantee. I'll put 100% money on that.
Dave and I could be a tag team right now. Put Dave over with the move at the end. You and I work this great match. Boom, boom, boom. And
I'll put Dave over big time. I'll make Dave look like $1 million.
Exactly.
The Manson Brothers versus Neil and Dave. That'll be perfect.
I like it. That would sell in LA for sure. Okay, so did you guys ever think about working indies again, or you're done? You won't work wrestling
anymore? I can't. I'm too
hurt. I would do it.
Chris would do it in the blink of an eye. I'm too hurt to do it. I've had 9 spinal surgeries, so, you know, I'm a broken down old man, but when we got in the ring to do the wrestling scenes, I would be lying to you if I told you I wasn't lying.
So, I'll tell you a story about that from production. We were very fortunate. We found a really good group of workers in New Mexico where we were shooting to come in and assist us in training the two actors that we were going to have a match with in the film. And these guys actually looked the part too. They were in good shape, could get around the ring. You could tell they'd been trained well. So one time while we're working, we had a couple days off on the weekend, and they said, hey, we're going to Amarillo for a match. You want to come down and do a tag match with us? And I immediately ran to the producer and was like, I want to go work this match. And they're like, no, that's not happening. But I was ready to do it. I would.
Yeah, so that's so I might be making a
call. Me and I hung the phone.
We'll have to connect. We'll have to see who's left. It's interesting. A lot of the guys we worked with, Chris, are running the offices now in the big time. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Think about Adam part of in WWE. You never thought that would be. And then you have specifically enough Scotty D'Amore over in Impact. Yep. And
Mike and I worked with Christopher Daniels, you know, quite a bit.
Chris worked his first match against me.
He's in talent with AEW. You know, I mean, he's an office guy now with them. Yeah.
I stiffed the shit out of him.
Don't show him that.
All right. Okay, Dave, caregiving question now, Dave, for these both these guys to close up.
Okay, so we're all in our twilight years now. Now we're not kids anymore. And so a few years ago, my wife had a stroke.
Oh, no.
47 years.
Oh.
She lost her speech, became paralyzed on one side. Well, grieving process, a couple of years, we almost broke up, but we hung in there. You know, she became her old self again. Our love was rekindled. And now, you know, we're in love more than we ever have. But she still can't talk, but she can communicate non-verbally you know, like Harpo Marx or, you know, Pictionary, Charades, two games I hate, but I'm learning to love. But the question is, you know, now I'm Caregiver Dave and I travel all over the world. I've been on 50 TV shows. I've spoken at Harvard, NASDAQ, going to London in 2 days, speak at the stock exchange. My question is, you know, if you're not a caregiver, just wait. You're either going to become one or you're going to need one.
Right.
Have you guys had that experience yet?
Yes.
Yeah, I know. You probably have a caregiver.
Well, I was a fireman for 14 years. So
Oh, wow.
I'm used to rendering care. My wife's an emergency room nurse. So that's kind of in my blood. I like doing it. And conversely, I've had to be taken care of, been flat on my back for months at a time. So I've been on both ends of that. I would rather be on the giving end than the receiving end of it. But, you know, you can't stop age and time. So
every fireman I know has screwed up their back, you know.
That's exactly how it happened. It was funny.
For me, from my end,
for how long? I never got hurt. But I broke my nose once, I think. And, of course, you know, the bumps and bruises. But nothing serious. I was on the fire department 2 years. I broke my neck. So there you go.
Are your parents still alive?
Mine, no.
Mine are, fortunately. Yeah, and from my end, as far as the caregiving part, I have a son who's on the autism spectrum. He's 18 years old now, just graduated from high school, and you know, not so much in the caregiving world, but just having, you know, raised him in a special needs situation,
a lot of patience.
Yeah, and oh, by the way, I'd go through the caregiving if he didn't have to, for sure, in a million years. So, but you know what? I mean, it's one of those things where you can't imagine him any differently. I wish for him it wasn't that way, but yeah, he's such a great kid. I mean, I couldn't love him anymore.
Very fortunate.
I've got
a grandson, and he's in jail right now because he went the other way.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I did render care for my parents while they were alive too. It's a difficult process when your loved one needs care and they're an adult, and you know, it's when a kid needs it, it's one thing. It's different. They're a kid. When an adult needs it, it's a lot harder to be as compassionate and all that. But
and they don't receive it very well because they're the kid.
They don't want to be a patient.
Yeah.
You know, in the ambulance, we used to say you have to be cognizant that this person is in the worst state in their life. They don't want to be taken care of. They would rather you be on the other side of that. So,
all right. So go to caregiverdave.com. Guys, check him out. And hopefully Dave connects with Chris so that he can go to the movie. So you guys will off air. We'll try to get that together to get Dave another hookup. He's done a few deals with that. And you can hear I use the language of wrestling and everything, guys. Still, it's good.
You know, what do we?
Once a worker, always a worker, man.
Exactly. Always a worker. And I've been out since 99 Bremen, Germany. But I'm making a comeback. I guess I'll announce that soon. And I'm going to be in movies. All right.
What city are you in, Chris?
I'm in Seal Beach.
Seal Beach, okay. Yeah. I'm in Santa Clarita, North LA County.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, we're pretty far apart.
All right, so, guys, best place you can watch the movie right now. It's available in what cities right now? People can go to where?
It's available in Hollywood, Cleveland. Oh, my gosh. Philadelphia, outside of Philadelphia. Houston, Texas. Dallas, Texas. Three areas around greater New York. West Palm Beach, Florida. Detroit, Michigan. Chicago, Illinois. It'll be for one night. And then again, VOD, all of your iTunes, Amazon, anywhere you can purchase or rent videos, DirecTV, your local cable company, anything like that.
Crack a beer, kick your feet up, and have a good time.
That's right.
We appreciate it, guys. All right, guys, that was the Caregiver Dave celebrity segment, guys. Take care.